Bella's Christmas Bake Off by Sue Watson and read by Willow Nash for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. Naughty Custard and Severely Whipped Cream. I was icing the Christmas cake when he told me.
"Amy, I have to talk to you," he said.
I lifted the palette knife to create a snowy effect on the soft mallow frosting and stood back, then turned to him.
"What?"
I was gazing at my beautiful frosty white cake. Silent Night played on the iPod, and it was just 3 weeks before Christmas. I glanced up at Neil standing next to me, and the look in his eyes scared me so much I put down the palette knife.
"What is it? Are you ill? Has something happened?"
He nodded, slowly, his eyes still cold, like they belonged to someone else.
"I was going to leave it until after Christmas to tell you, but I can't go on like this. Amy, I'm sorry, but it feels like a charade to go through the whole Christmas thing, and I've met someone."
He was standing in front of me now, making eye contact, ensuring the message was clear and there was no room for misunderstanding. My mind went blank. The pink tie I'd bought for him was loosened at his neck. He'd just come home from work. It was Friday evening. There were pork chops in the oven. Is this a joke? There were no words for this. I'd sometimes imagined a scene where we parted, but it was usually the other way round, and me telling him I was going. I wasn't ready for this. Now, ever.
Why?
"Because I can't live a lie any longer, Amy," he said,
his speech obviously well prepared, learned by heart. I could see by his set jaw and steady gaze he was damn well going to say every word without interruption from me.
"You've been so busy with work. You've got your friends and your life, and I feel like there's no room for me," he started.
"Oh no, Neil. You sleeping with someone else is not my fault, so don't even try to pull that one," I snapped, moving swiftly from shock to anger, aware I was spitting in his face, not pretty or festive.
"I'm sorry, I'm not blaming you, but I want to be with her. She loves me, she cares what happens to me, asks me about my day. I'm sorry, Amy."
He stood there, ashen-faced. "So, after 20 years, you're just walking out on your marriage because some other woman asks if you've had a nice day?" I was becoming irrational, but who could blame me?
"Perhaps I should have made more like an American waitress and said, 'Have a nice day,' when I served you your evening meal."
The panic was rising in my chest. I couldn't deal with people leaving. The thought of being on my own scared me. Things hadn't been great for a long time between us. But he didn't have to go and throw it all away. Not now, just weeks before Christmas. I glanced through the living room door at the Christmas tree, the lights twinkling, gifts from relatives and friends already underneath. This was a time for being together, for rekindling love and family, not abandoning it.
"I don't understand," I asked, trying to calm down and not to bare my teeth like a wild animal.
I didn't know how I felt about Neil, but I wasn't ready for this, and I didn't want him storming off into the night and leaving me alone. I needed to keep everything on an even keel, especially myself.
"I know we've had our problems, Neil, but all marriages have problems. We just have to work at them."
"That's what I thought too, but she's special."
"Special? More special than the woman you married, who you've been with for over 20 years,
I snapped, losing any chance of staying calm at this.
"No, of course you're special too, but we both want different things, Amy."
"Yeah, you want someone else."
"It's not like that. I care about her."
So this really was it? After several years of our relationship hanging by a thread, one of us had finally decided to do something to end it. But now it was finally here. I felt sick. I was about to throw up, but swallowed hard to prevent it. Whatever I might think about him, I didn't want my husband's last moments with me to be infused with the sight.